Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Chris Hayes. I'll be reading the scripture today. Today's scripture is from Luke 2, 41 through 52. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand. When he said to them, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris. Always happy to have somebody to help with worship if you would like to do that. I print it out nice and big, so it's not even hard to read. And someone said, would it be okay if we recorded it? Of course would, and that's not a problem at all. So if you would like to be involved in worship, we're glad to have you. So, first thing I got to say is I am pretty attuned to the church calendar and the lectionary, and this is one of the times where I just say the lectionary is wrong and I got to flip things around. Because the way it's supposed to go is Jesus is born, Jesus is 12 years old in the temple, then Jesus is back in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, receiving the wise men and the golds and frankincense and myrrh, and that doesn't make any sense to me. I think it might be because that my little girl is 12 going on 18 or 18 going on 12. But they grow up fast enough already. I can't do the birth to 12 and back to birth again. So I took them out of order. This story tells a very interesting cultural story about the people of Israel. The thing is that when they came to that time of the year, everybody journeyed to Jerusalem. One of the caveats I make is I understand on the map that Nazareth is up in the north, Jerusalem is down in the south, but they always say you go up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem's on a mountain. Doesn't matter if you're north, east, south, or west, you're going to Jerusalem, you're going up. So they're going up to Jerusalem by going south. One of the things hard for us to understand is that the way they do this journey to Passover, boggles our mind because essentially the whole village of Nazareth would empty. Everybody would go. There'd be nobody left behind. So if you have ever been on a caravan with family with like two or three cars, pales in comparison. Even though Nazareth was a small town, might have had less than 100 people, all 100 were on the road. And they're all coming down to Jerusalem. One of the stories being told is the interaction of what is going on there. And could it be that John the Baptist and Jesus were together on the journey, getting into mischief? Probably not, because it's Jesus and John the Baptist, but doing things that little kids did, finding sticks, finding stones, seeing the birds in the trees. So as they finally get to Jerusalem and they celebrate the Passover, Jesus is in the temple. And he begins to interact with the teachers there, which would be kind of like going from a small town of Pinckney into the big city of Ann Arbor and encountering the professors there. The best professors of the day of Judaism were in the temple in Jerusalem. And he begins to have this interaction with them. So now I want to rewind. I don't know how many people have remembered these things that I've spoken of before, but the upbringing of a good Jewish boy started at about the age of 6. And they would go into training. They would go to Torah school. They would learn the Pentateuch. If you ever really want to get intimidated, start flipping through the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's kind of fun at the beginning. You got some really cool stories and things are going on. Exodus, you know, they make movies out of that. Then you get to Leviticus. Then you get to Numbers. Most people who start to read their way through the Bible starting at the beginning, stop right there. You get to Leviticus and Numbers, you're pretty well done. All I remember is saying, Dad, what does begat mean? But the little boys will memorize all 5 books. And when they were done, they would be tested. And if they're good, they would then move into the next phase. 8 or 9 years old, they would move into the prophet phase. And they would study Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 minor prophets that come after that. I could probably get 10 or 11 of them, but I forget one and I get all flustered because I couldn't name them all. But they would study them. And then at the age of 12, they would be evaluated to see if they were worthy of becoming a disciple. Jesus is 12 years old. I'm making an assumption. I'm jumping in and I'm filling in the blanks. So I'm going to go ahead and do it again. If you haven't seen The Chosen, you need to download that. You need to watch that series about the calling of the disciples by Jesus. It is really, really biblically accurate, but he does a very good job of filling in the personalities of the disciples and the backstory and what they were talking about as they went along. And I think what is happening in this moment is Jesus has already done his Pentateuch study. He's already done his prophet study, and he is ready to be evaluated as a disciple. A lot of times people read this and they say, why were they amazed at his questions? Shouldn't they have been amazed at his answers? But that's not the way rabbinic teaching worked. Rabbinic teaching worked kind of like the Socratic method. You didn't care if people could regurgitate facts. You wanted to see how they could put them together. So if they asked you a question, you would ask them a question that dug deeper and took them further into the text. And then they would ask another question and you would take them further still. The idea is that the professor, the leader, the Pharisee, the whoever is in charge here would take you a little deeper than you've been before and moved you a little further along the path. The way it looks here is it's the scribes and teachers who are amazed at his question, indicating that they didn't have another question. They couldn't take him deeper because he had taken them deeper. Probably because he wrote the whole thing. but he has stood everything on its head and changed things around. So about this time, his parents come in. People say they must not be very good parents to go a whole day without realizing their son isn't with them. But again, let's try to suspend our judgment and realize that they were in a group of maybe 100 people, and maybe more than that, because the neighboring village might have been with them too, and it might just have been a gaggle of boys running and laughing. Well, they realize he's not there. They go back to get him, and they say, "Why'd you treat us this way?" And he says, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" I think Jesus had a sense of belonging, a sense of home in that place. And I think that's what he's trying to communicate when he says, "I must be in my Father's house." Back in the olden days, when I was a youth pastor, there was a song by Audio Adrenaline called "My Father's House." And the refrain goes, it's a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms. There's room for everybody. Everybody can be at home there. There's a big, big table with lots and lots of food, because the kingdom of God is like a great banquet. And everybody is invited, and there's enough food for everyone. There's a big, big yard where we can play football. I have a little harder time doing that. I don't know if God is really into football, but the idea that there's a vast yard where everybody has enough room to play and think and walk and run strikes me as very real. And I think that's what Jesus is experiencing as he's in the temple and as he is talking to the leaders. He's experiencing this feeling of home, this feeling of belonging. The things that make us feel as though we belong can be different. It can be like me up in a treehouse that wanted to have a place where the wind wasn't blowing and the rain wasn't falling. But it's more than just a place where you have food and warmth and shelter for your body. It's a place where you have food and warmth and shelter for your soul, where you have a sense of belonging, you have a sense of completeness, you have a sense of nurture that lets you know that you're where you ought to be. C.S. Lewis had some very profound thoughts that he was able to express so simply. And one that always sticks with me is the idea that if we find ourselves in this life feeling as though something is missing that can't be found in this world, the only solution that's logical is that we aren't made for this world. I think Jesus says the same thing in John chapter 14. "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also." A place where we will fully be at home. Because I think it is a human's longest yearning. One of the interesting things is we all go out to make our own homes as we grow up and become adults. But human anthropology is interesting. It makes an argument that is very compelling to me. Humans are the only species that welcomes their adult children home. And in some families, it's actually expected. It happens each summer. It happens each Christmas. It happens each year. It happens in different ways. And I think it is this yearning within us to create that place that is home. I also think that it happens in different places. And I think that in itself reveals something. In World War I, on the Western Front, as Christmas neared, the fighting began to dwindle until on the point of the 24th of December, an unofficial ceasefire kind of came over the line as the soldiers in their trenches began to pull out whatever food or whatever what they had, and they began to celebrate Christmas Eve. A short time later, as the sun went down, a familiar song began to be heard. Stille Nacht. And the response came from the English side, the American side. Holy Night. And they all sang Silent Night, remembering their own homes. I'd love to say that World War I came to an end that night, but it didn't. But for that moment, they remembered who they were and where they wished they were. A similar story is told in the American Civil War. The armies were encamped on each side of the Potomac River. Morale had been low on both sides, and the Union band began to play patriotic tunes to raise morale on the Union side. The Confederate band began to play Dixie and to increase morale on their side. And this is where the historical information starts to conflict. One of the bands began to play There's No Place Like Home. But as it was played, the other side began to pick up the tune as well. And the voices began to raise, Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. Even in the midst of war, we understand where it is that we long to be. And as I said, Christ understands even more. He left his home in heaven, came to this earth, and began to experience the feeling of home in the temple. And then as he left his disciples, he said he went to prepare a place for them that they could be with him in the heavenly home that we're all created for. It comes full circle as we enter our Father's house and the place we were created to be. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you today, we often struggle with the way that this world looks, the way people act, and what it is that people think are important. Help us to understand that we were created for you. You were created a place for us, and you're waiting to welcome us home. All God's people said,